Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
It's the Dr. Hockey Podcast, coming to you by Zoom with Dr. Jason Barkley and myself, Dr. Jay Calvert. Jason, how are you doing?
Jay, I got to say something. I just was having a little bit of a snacking mood, and I don't care what anybody thinks. What I was snacking on are two things that I think should be in everybody's diet.
Tell me.
Nacho cheese Doritos. Oh, there's nothing better.
So good.
With the kids here, it's tough because my wife buys this crap food and leaves it in the house. But nacho cheese Doritos are incredible.
They really are. I'm with you.
I capped that off with one of my favorite things in the world, the cheese popcorn from Disneyland.
Nice.
I'm telling you, it's the best. I don't want to hear anybody that's anybody setting us anything about like white cheddar cheese popcorn or whatever. The orange cheese popcorn from Disneyland is the best cheese popcorn on the planet.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that. It is so good.
It's fantastic. I was there this past Friday and I got two bags, although it cost me $8 for probably 3 cents of popcorn.
It wouldn't be Disney if it didn't cost that much.
Exactly. Because on the way out, the kids are like, I want a toy. So it's like a $34 stuffed animal each.
Oh, yeah. No, we got – I remember we went to Disney on Ice and got these like snow cone cups. Like, yep. And the cup was obviously the draw. You know,
of course.
The snow cone is ice with sugar, you know, syrup on it.
Right.
Which is less than 3 cents. But the cup – $25 each.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not a joke.
So here's what my wife does. And for all you parents out there listening, it's a little bit of a nice little hack. So when you go to one of those events, rather than letting the kids walk around and seeing other kids with the sprinkler thing and the lights flashing and it's all spinning and everything else and their heads going crazy with ideas, bring a Disney toy with you for them to bring to the show.
Ah, good call.
They are less likely to ask for other crap if they got something else of crap in their hand. So they're less inclined to ask for something because they have something.
That sounds
psychological.
That sounds like a great hack. I like it.
Just bring it. Say, okay, kids, you get to bring a Disney toy with you. Let's go. They walk in. They got their Elsa doll, their Anna doll, whatever it is. And they may say they want cotton candy, whatever else, but I'm not going for the big bucks of the $25 cup o
ice.
A cup of ice and sugar.
It's so painful.
I know.
My only defense is to own Disney stock.
Well, yeah.
That's my only defense.
I don't have that.
At least if I own some Disney stock, I don't feel terrible about going $100 on four of the snow cone icy things.
All I'm thinking about it myself is that's $25 less of Cardano or Bitcoin that I can potentially buy.
Very true.
You know?
Well, let's talk about the playoffs, Jason, because right now it's playoff mania. It's awesome.
We are officially in the second round, and that was courtesy of a blown Game 7 by the Maple Leafs, again, being up 3-1. Let me correct that. I don't want to say blown. Yes, they blew a 3-1 lead, but I don't want to say they blew the series because there's one thing, the difference maker that is going to bring and propel this Montreal Canadiens team over the finish line, wherever they end up, Carey Price.
100%.
That's it.
Worth
there's
that's the price it. Of admission.
They're scoring. I mean, Jeff Petrie, I think, had two goals the other night, and they're getting secondary scoring, but Carey Price is it. And you know as well as I do, you get a hot goalie, and as John Blue will tell us, you know, with all of his little stat sheets that he's going to, you know, print up and everything, but you get a hot goalie, it doesn't matter about the other stuff and all the tangibles, that's it. You're done.
You got it. And that's what's happening. And that's what happened. The Maple Leafs got Carey Priced.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. I'm surprised they won any other games against Montreal the way that they played the last few games. But then Montreal comes back and beats Winnipeg, but loses Luke Evans to a hit. That was one of the most brutal hits I think I've seen in a long time. In fact, somebody was telling me about a Scott Stevens hit. I can't remember who it was. It was
Rhea.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
He says, well, I'll read you the tweet. Hold on one second. Someone tweeted this to me. I might have deleted it by accident. But basically, he was saying that I was too young to remember the Scott Stevens hit. I'm like, oh, no, I remember. I remember the Scott Stevens hit. But this was a pretty bad hit. It's I'm sure anyone listening has seen it when Evans goes for the empty netter. And it wasn't your typical empty netter. The puck kept going, and it went to the end behind the net, basically, on the left side of the net. He comes around the left side. Shifley's just coming a full head of steam about maybe 10 feet behind him. And as Evans comes to hook to kind of wrap around the goal to put it in an empty net from the right side, Shifley just barrels into him. I mean, just plows into him like a locomotive.
Yep.
And not only does he get hit, but he gets hit and upended, and his face hits the ice first.
Yeah. No, he took a beating.
Yeah. And, you know, my first thought when he came down, because I saw when he got the hit, when he came down after the hit, he was motionless. He didn't have a way to break his fall. It was basically his face and his head. Because I think he was out at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and the big issue was, as Kevin Weeks said, was you have to go for the puck. Shifley didn't go for the puck. He didn't make any attempt at the puck. It was charging. And as we now know over the last 40 minutes, which was just came over the wire, that Shifley is suspended 4 games.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand why he's suspended. I'm not questioning that. And I think he should be. But there was some talk of people saying, well, it was a hard hit. And if Evans didn't go down the way he did, he may not get suspended. And I'm thinking to myself, once again, we're letting the outcome of a bad hit or a bad play determine the punishment. And I'll use my analogy again. You rob a bank, you only take a dollar, you don't just get to go home and not worry about it. You know, this is not how it goes. If you rob a bank, you rob a bank. It's illegal. So it should be treated as such, not based on what the outcome is. And I think that's where the NHL Players Association and the player safety really misses the boat on many of these incidents.
Yeah, because if they knew, like, you're going to get a 4-game suspension for, you know, a crazy illegal hit, no matter what happens to the other guy, then players would not do that. But if they think, well, maybe if I don't crush the guy, I'll get away with it. I mean, I agree with you. It's like it shouldn't be based on the outcome. But the truth is that they do it that way. That is their way. Well, he didn't get that hurt. Well, you know, he didn't break skin, so he only gets 2 minutes on the high stick instead of 4. Like, you know, it's like high stick is a high stick. Should it be 2 minutes? Should it be 4 minutes? Well, if you cut skin, you get 4 minutes. Like, what is right. that? That rule to me is like whacking.
Right. I agree. I agree. I mean, and the thing is also, you know, I have some former players. Sean Avery was basically ripping on Evans, saying, hey, kid, get your head up. It's the playoffs. Then you had Matt Barnaby responding indirectly, if you watched it, basically calling Avery out and saying that that was a nonsense kind of comment and that this is not anything to do with the playoffs. It's a matter of playing a sport and having courtesy for your fellow player. And then he said that Shifley should have eased up. And since he didn't play the puck, you never should have hit into him like that. And that's it. And I tend to side with Barnaby on this. I mean, you know, that's if you go to his Twitter feed and look at his video, what he said today about the hit, Barnaby was spot on.
Yeah. I mean, Shifley made no attempt at the puck. That he just went to crush the man.
Right.
Yeah. That's
just the definition of charging. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, I mean it's a mistake because Shifley happens to be an elite goal scorer and a very important part of the Winnipeg Jets team, and why he would, you know, not be able to pull that thinking together. The game's, you know, basically over there, and it's you know, you're going to now take yourself out for four games. I mean, look at Nazem Kadri still sitting on the sidelines.
Yep. Agree.
Sitting on the sidelines, watching the game.
Selfish play out of frustration. And, you know, but just an FYI. So when, from a medical standpoint, because this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, if you see somebody getting into an injury like that, or having an injury like that, or whatnot, the most important thing is you stabilize the cervical spine. You don't want to move them around. You don't want to pull them a certain way unless they're obviously in any immediate danger. You know, if you're in a car accident or something like that, and the car's overturned and the person's, you know, the car's going to explode or something like that. Yeah, obviously you want to get them out of the way. But by and large, you want to stabilize that spine. You don't want them moving. People can develop spinal fractures that can be displaced, meaning that it's out of the alignment of what it's supposed to be. And if you move them, you could cause more damage by causing that displaced fracture to actually compress and damage the spinal cord. So you can actually worsen their injury by trying to move them or, you know, whatever else. And if they're not breathing or they're having trouble breathing, don't lift their head back. And as Jay, you can attest, you do something simple called a jaw thrust. And that's where you basically take your thumbs or your fingers behind the mandible on each side and lightly push pressure forward to bring the jaw forward. And that does is that opens up the airway without having you to move the neck or tilt the neck in any way for them to be able to breathe better. One of my buddies who's an ER doctor back in Michigan, his name is Dave Donaldson, really great guy. He actually saved on the way home from work one time. There was a car accident he stumbled upon, and who else do you want but then one of the top ER doctors in the state of Michigan. And he saved a kid from with his breathing with just a jaw thrust, and made a difference. Saved the guy's life.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, I thought when I saw that hit, I was like, it's amazing that that guy like didn't break his neck.
I couldn't believe it. I think it was maybe within a matter of a couple inches of the way he was falling, he would have landed with the full pressure on his head, and that would have crushed his spine.
Yeah, I mean, that those hits are deadly, man. I mean, those guys are not – they're moving fast. You know, so it's like getting hit by, you know, a rapid, like by a projectile.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, Evans didn't even see it coming. I mean, you can talk about getting cold cocked. I mean, you have to, you know, you can at least prepare sometimes if you see something coming like that. He had no clue that that was happening. The puck was already in the net when he got hit. That's the thing too. The puck was already in the net.
Yeah.
Shifley had no play on the puck anyway, even if he was trying to play it, which he made no attempt. The puck was already in the net. Skate, pull up, and that's it. Be done with it. You get to play the next game. But now you're out, and you've really hurt a colleague who's probably going to be out for quite a while as well. But anyway.
I mean, I don't think Shifley will – I think probably what will happen is, you know, I could see Montreal winning the next two. Yeah, I think it's kind of over for Winnipeg, you know.
I don't know if it's over, but I certainly think that there's an emotional boost for Montreal with everything like this. And, you know, yeah, you're right. Shifley's a goal scorer. I mean, they're – and the last thing you want to do is have one of your best goal scorers out against Carey Price. I mean, that's, you know, it's just – it's a double whammy for them. It's not – you know, they're meeting a hot goalie, probably the best in the business, arguably. And you lose a goal scorer, and that's it. You know, it's a big, big loss for them.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to swing the series. I mean, I think they probably sacrificed their chances with that
move. Yeah, yep. And if he doesn't come back, then, you know, hockey players have long memories. This is not over, I can tell you that.
No, that's for sure. you know, Montreal's playing well, and they're going to miss Evans. By the way, that's a loss for them. You know, and he'll be gone. I don't know if he'll come back to play again.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, Tavares, with his hit, although somewhat of different mechanism of injury, still brutal nonetheless, you know, had been skating, but now he's got the rest of the offseason to hopefully recover and doesn't have any resulting sequelae from that hit. You know, wish him the best. Hope he gets back and doesn't have any, you know, thing after. But I don't know how he possibly could even come back from the second round after that hit, even if Toronto advanced.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Well, you know, it's playoff hockey. You know,
we have some great series right now. I mean, the Islanders, Boston is tied at 1-1. Right now they're in New York for the game, and the game's now the Islanders are down by one at this time. We'll see if they can come back and tie it. You know, you got Lightning are up 2-0 on the Hurricanes. We talked about the Canadiens and the Jets because that's obviously only the first game. And then Colorado, your pick, is leading the Golden Knights 2-0. And, I mean, even with Fleury in the net last night, you know, it wasn't as bad, obviously, as game one. But what are your thoughts?
I think that's a pretty even series. I think it's going to be a battle. I mean, the Colorado's got so many weapons. And, you know, if the Golden Knights don't shut them down early in the game, then I think if you leave Colorado in it, they can barrel over you. Not that the Golden Knights don't have a bunch of weapons also. They do. But, you know, Grubauer is one of the most underrated goaltenders in the league. And he, you know, he really has kept Colorado in play in terms of being an elite team to go to the Stanley Cup and win it. So, you know, I think people underestimate how important Grubauer is to what Colorado does. The reason Cale Makar scores so frequently is because he's not afraid to go up and pinch and shoot and do the things that he's good at.
Right.
Not to mention,
well,
that dude is a freaking beast.
I think also, frankly, I think that that Minnesota series took a lot out of Vegas.
Definitely. Definitely.
I'm not making excuses. It's not an excuse. It's part of the game. I just think that it took a lot out of them.
Yeah, Minnesota ran them ragged. They made them earn that win. Minnesota was killing them. They were really doing great. But the other thing that's interesting, too, is, you know, Stone, who was, you know, unstoppable during the year, you know, he's not putting up the numbers like he was during the regular season. And they need Mark Stone and Pacioretty to be on fire.
Pacioretty missed the first game, but,
yeah,
you know, but, yeah, listen, that was Toronto's downfall, too. I mean, their plan is to outscore everybody when you can't do that when, you know, Austin Matthews isn't scoring and the rest of the guys aren't scoring. It's that same philosophy. You can't just rely on every single night. It's going to be just let's outscore them 6-2 or whatever else, or 6-4. It's not going to happen. I mean, you know, that's a horrible strategy. And so Dempsey didn't pay off for them. But what do you think about the Lightning Canes? I mean, you think it's over there, or do you think Carolina comes back on that?
I think Tampa Bay is too experienced. They've got Carolina's number. It's one of those classic, this isn't a good matchup, you know, where Carolina's a great team, but they're not great against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got a lot of weapons against Carolina, and I think Tampa Bay advances.
I agree. I think it's over. I don't think it's going to be a sweep, obviously, but I think it's going to be over. I mean, they win the first two games on the road, which is not easy to do, you know, and then now they're Tampa Bay's back at home. Game one, now it's tied 0-0 in the second as we speak, but, you know, hey, anything can happen, but I think that Carolina's done personally.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think we're going to see the Boston and the Islanders are pretty well matched. You know, it's interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're really well matched. Even without Anders Lee, you know, New York's got game, man. I mean, they got what it takes to beat Boston, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he's a difference maker. I mean, if you don't – I think with him this is a different series.
Oh, with Anders Lee? Oh my God!
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Absolutely, they're a cup contender with Anders Lee.
Yeah, I mean it makes, you know, and it's a team sport. Yeah, whatever. But it, you know, it definitely makes a difference. I mean, I think the difference is with, you know, when Tampa was having, you know, with Stamkos was out with Tampa, I think the fact is that Tampa was just so deep, it didn't matter. I don't think that I know the Islanders are not as deep as the Lightning. Were at that time where you could have one of your best players out and still be able to, you know, not worry necessarily. But yeah, I mean, it's a different series now. I think it makes it a little more even for Boston.
Yeah. I guess I'd like,
I'm running out of teams to root for. I mean, you know, Toronto was always my backup team. Yes, I picked Tampa, but I'm actually rooting for the Islanders. I mean, Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm taking a person. Maybe it's Truman Show, and every team I root for sucks.
Well,
I don't know what else.
I really thought this was the year of Nathan MacKinnon, and you know, he's not disappointing. That guy is, he's got a ton of points.
Yeah. Oh, Carolina just scored on a nice upper top shelf shot by Pesci.
They showed a stat that in the postseason, Nathan MacKinnon is averaging 1.4, 1.5 points per game, which is like he was in like an elite category. It had like Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky. Did you see that?
Yeah.
There's Nathan MacKinnon. And it's like, okay, so that's the deal.
Yeah.
Like I think Crosby was in that deal. It was like, you know, there are some people that are just good in the playoffs, and that's kind of what I was expecting. But, you know, he's teeing it up. He's making, you know, Rantanen and Landeskog and MacKinnon on the line. It's just I think it's going to be really hard to beat Colorado. Do you think the Golden Knights have any chance in that series?
I think the only way they have a chance right now is if they play Fleury the rest of the series. I'm not a believer in Leonard for this. I think you got to play Fleury. He's been here before. He's been in those situations before. And knows to kind of dig out of a hole. You can't – if they start Leonard in the next game, I think they're done. That's it. And it's not a reflection of Leonard. I mean, he's a great goalie. Don't get me wrong. But I think at this point, it's the experience and just the everything that goes into the package of that's Marc-Andre Fleury, I think you got to ride that and try to hope that you know, clicks with the team, you know, and makes a difference. I just don't know what who's going to be playing tonight, but I think it should be Fleury personally.
Well, I agree with you. I think that it's a style issue, and I think that Leonard, if you're playing the Boston Bruins, then Leonard's probably your goalie. And I think against the Colorado Avalanche, you need Fleury. You need a guy that's going to be active like crazy in that crease. Yeah, and that's what he was all over that last night. But still, they got the best of him in overtime. That was, once you go to overtime, it's a crapshoot, right? It's like
a totally crapshoot. Yeah, for sure.
So that's the thing. If the Golden Knights want to get it done, they have to get it done in regulation time.
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't want to have that offensive force of Colorado coming at you full steam. This isn't 3-on-3 in the middle of the season. This is, you know. The full force of that Avalanche offense. But like I said, I think the only way they do it is if they just stick with Fleury and, you know, don't alter that. If you keep going back and forth, the team doesn't know where they stand in it. And I don't know. I don't think it was Fleury's fault, but they lost to game two.
No, it wasn't. That was a sweet shot. And, it, you know, as I forget who we had on the podcast, but if you remember, I can't remember who it was, but if you remember, somebody said that on any given night, there are 3, 4, 5 shots that are just not stoppable by any goalie.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's in the net. They're just unstoppable shots. That's how good these goal scorers are now. And, you know, Mikko Rantanen's he's a pretty skilled goal scorer, and you're in overtime and he lit that thing up and that was it. Like, what could he do?
Yeah.
So.
Agreed.
Well, We'll keep watching. That's
for
all
sure.
We can do, man. See what happens. I'll be interested to see what happens with the Jets with that suspension. I think Mark Scheifele made a mental error. I think he made a brand error for himself. You know,
He's not a repeat offender, I don't believe. I think this is kind of not really the norm for the guy.
It's not. And that's the whole point. It's like you're in the playoffs. The last thing you need is to be not able to play for your team. You know?
So let me ask you a question then. So let's say he hits him the way he does. Everything goes the way it did last night. And then Evans gets up, little assistance from the training group, you know, goes over to sidelines. He's out for the rest of the game. So he still gets a 5-minute major for charging. Does he get the 4-game suspension?
Well,
I think not.
I think you're probably right. I think they probably would give him less based on the outcome, which is against yours.
Talk about
and
it, yeah, but I'm just saying that that's I think what you know the difference is. And anyway, I don't want to repeat it again, but they got to change that. This is just not. not conducive to any type of consistency for the players and the safety of the players personally.
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. All right, man. Well, I will see you very shortly. We'll keep up on these playoffs. You know, I think I'm going to get either Blue or Skating and Stilettos to come on, hear their opinion of this goaltending battles, because I think it's an important point of what we're talking about.
Sure.
All right, man. Well, this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.